Okay, we're ready to go. It's 7 o'clock. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Welcome to the Southern California Connection Prayer Line, sponsored by the Central Filipino Seventh-day Adventist Church, hosted by the Women's Ministry. And our Women's Ministry Director is Gwen Shorter, and I'll be moderating tonight. I'm Joanne Williams, the prayer leader. Our speaker tonight is Brother Fulk, so I hope everyone came armed with their Bibles because his message is very action-packed. So in any case, let's have a word of prayer as we open the Sabbath and we open our evening worship with one another. Do we have someone that would like to pray for a revival and reformation in our church in concert with the General Conference and friends list? And of course, Brother Fulk, if he is the word this evening, let me just start scripture line.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Mel. Give you a happy Sabbath, Millie. Mel, were you going to give us a word of prayer? Okay, I'll go ahead and offer a word of prayer at this time. Our dear, kind, loving Heavenly Father, we come to you in the night with praise and thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for this Sabbath, for the time that we dedicate to spending with you every week. And Lord, we know that your soon return is upon us, and with all of the things going on around the world, we thank you so much for this prayer line that we can come together as like believers to hear your word, to hear your message, and to draw closer to you. Lord, we ask that you bring revival and reformation in concert with the General Conference. His request to pray 777 to our churches, to our homes, to our lives, that we are convicted by each message we hear, and that we don't just hear the message and remain the same, that it changes us. Lord, we also want to look at our prodigals and our friends list. Lord, you know what a burden we have for each of them out in the world. Lord, we just ask that you send your Holy Spirit to prick their hearts and to bring them home in safety. And tonight, Lord, we ask that you be with Brother Fulk. Let your words be his, Lord, as he speaks the message. Let it be your message, Lord, that you want us to hear. Please bless him in a mighty way, him and his family and his wife that's expecting their second child. Lord, please bless them, each one of them. They are such faithful, dedicated workers, Lord, for you. So we ask that you be with Brother Fulk and his family in a mighty way. And we ask that you bless him tonight as he brings us the message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Fulk, the time is yours.
Thank you, my dear sister Joanne. Very happy Sabbath to everyone. Depending on where you are, a very happy upcoming Sabbath. I encourage you to turn to your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, as we begin today's study.
Brother Fulk, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I don't know if everyone else is hearing it, but you seem a little muttered. And you're not
okay. I'm going to speak a little bit louder. Can everyone hear me?
Can you hear me? We can hear you, but it's a little muffled. It's not clear.
Okay. I can switch phones. If everyone, so I'm still a little muffled right now, is that correct?
Can I get some feedback from some of the callers? I want to make sure it's not just my line. Sometimes it's just a single line, but I'm just hearing you a little muffled tonight.
Yeah, I hear it, Joanne.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I hear it.
I hear it too, Joanne.
Oh, you're hearing that little muffled too.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, okay.
So you're just not coming across clear. You're coming across loud, but just not clear.
Okay. So I'm going to just ask for the patience of the saints as I switch to a phone because I'm actually on the internet Skype. I will try to call back as soon as possible. All right.
Okay. Thank you. And just for those of you that didn't hear him, he's going to sign off and call in on a different phone line so he can be a little clearer. I wanted to make sure it wasn't just me, but I was hearing him. And you know how interactive his Bible study is with us, so I didn't want to miss the readings, et cetera. So I hope that everybody tonight, while he's signing back on, please get your Bibles and please participate as he asks for each one of us to read a Bible verse, or doesn't really ask for much more than that, just for a Bible, just for us to read it, and then he explains it. So, he's back on with us, though. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He just left, so he should be coming on any second.
Joanne, I apologize. I tried to unmute myself, and I think I muted myself when I was going to pray.
I think you did, Mel, and I was trying to give you a few seconds there, but it just wasn't working. So I love you, and you're going to give me a closing prayer. I just know it.
No problem. Praise the Lord.
No problem.
Thank you. Was that Matthew 24?
I didn't.
Yes.
I didn't. Was it? Okay. I couldn't hear it clearly.
Okay.
Here he comes. He's coming back on now.
Amen.
Let's test the line and make sure it's clear. Cause I don't want. Oh, there you go.
Can everyone hear me a little bit better now?
A lot better.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, good.
Okay,
good.
Well, everybody's going to go back to me so we can give you the time. Thank you, Brother Fultz, for doing that. You're
all
so
right.
Much clearer now. We don't want to miss the message.
Good. All right. So I apologize for that. Please turn with me your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 24 as we begin today's study. In the Word of God, Matthew chapter 24, and you know, I was going to have someone read it, but for the sake of time, I'm going to read this verse, but I will ask for volunteers later on in today's study, because it's a familiar passage in Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to just begin in verse 3, Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, and it says, "Now as he," that's Jesus, "sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows.'" Now, friends, in the last 10 years alone, we have seen a vivid fulfillment of these verses. Jesus warned us of earthquakes right before the time of the end. And here in these last 10 years alone, we have seen earthquakes in Chile, Haiti, Japan, and Indonesia. We have witnessed entire cities destroyed by Hurricane Katrina and the recent span of tornadoes in the Midwest. In the past 10 years alone, we have seen wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, and now Libya. In addition, we have heard of rumors of wars regarding Iran and North Korea. But beloved, all these bad things point to one good thing. And that one good thing is that Jesus is coming soon. And very soon, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And that there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And friends, even though many of the signs have already been fulfilled, I believe that there is still one more critical sign that must yet still reach its fulfillment. And we know there is a few things in Revelation that still need to be fulfilled, but there is one critical thing that has still not yet occurred. And really, it was illustrated to me best by my neighbor who lives across the street from me. and I might have told some of you this before, but this dear sister is over 50 years old, and we were talking, just one, my wife and I with her, and she asked, you know, somehow the topic of church came up, and we said, oh, we go to church on the Sabbath, the seventh day, and she said, asked, why do you go to church on that day? And we said, well, we're Seventh-day Adventists. And here the sister, who is over 50 years old, said, what is a Seventh-day Adventist? You know, friends, this sister has not lived in a foreign country. She lived here in Southern California. And likewise, even myself, who grew up in Southern California, I was 20 years old before I heard the word Seventh-day Adventist. You know, friends, we live in a world that is perishing in ignorance to God's holy law, and many Seventh-day Adventists are asleep. And there is still one critical sign that is missing, one sign that must occur, and that sign that must occur is a genuine revival resulting in the outpouring of the latter rain. And when this revival occurs, then the everlasting gospel of the three angels' messages will go to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And friends, I encourage someone to read just one verse in Matthew chapter 24 as we look at the signs of the end of the age. Would someone like to read Matthew chapter 24, verse 14?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Verse 14 in Matthew 24 reads, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come."
Thank you so much. You know, that is the one exciting thing. That and the coming of Jesus, those are things that we have to look forward to, that the everlasting gospel will go to the entire world. But in order for this to occur, we must experience a genuine revival. In fact, the book Selected Messages, Book 1, page 121, Sister White tells us that a revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. To seek this should be our first work. And beloved, we know that God's church needs revival and reformation. The only question is, where will it begin? Does a genuine revival begin in the foreign mission fields? Should we all go on foreign mission trips to bring about genuine revival? Or does a true revival begin with tithes and love offerings? Should we give a little bit more to the work, and then a revival will occur? Or does revival begin because of powerful sermons that are preached at churches and on prayer lines? Does a true revival begin from that? Now, friends, don't get me wrong. All these things are very good things, amen? But where does a genuine revival begin? Let me ask the question, on what does the success of God's church depend? You know, Sister White again gives us the answer when she says, the well-being of society, the success of the church, the prosperity of the nation depend upon... What do you think it is? Listen to this quote again from Ellen White. The well-being of society, the success of the church, the prosperity of the nation depend upon. She actually says, the well-being of society, the success of the church, the prosperity of the nation depend upon home influences. Adventist Home, page 15. Home influences. And so she's saying that a genuine revival begins in the home. In fact, the Bible confirms Ellen White's statement. I encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'd like someone to read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, as we see where genuine revival must first begin. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5.
I read it.
First Timothy
3, 1 to 5.
Yes.
this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop, thee must be, yeah, I guess that's right, it sounds funny, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not guilty, greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?
Thank you. And those last two verses are so critical. Oh. Where it says, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission. And then in verse 5 it says, for if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? And so a genuine revival, the final revival, will begin with home influences in our home. What's God's goal for your family here today in 2011? What does God expect of us regarding our families? And how can we make such a reality? I encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles again to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, as we discover the importance of families. Hebrews chapter 1, and as we also discover what God's standard for his families are. Hebrews chapter 1, I'd like someone to read Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 2.
Hebrews 1, and what verses?
Verses 1 to 2.
Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 2 reads, God, who at sultry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds.
All right, so with this verse, we're going to stack some verses together. All right, so this is the starting verse right here. The starting verse, it tells us here in Hebrews chapter 1 that Jesus made the worlds. Isn't that right? Verse 2? So with that in mind, all things were created through Jesus Christ. And we know based on, you know, Genesis chapter 1, that Jesus created Adam and Eve on the sixth day. Also in verse 31 of Genesis 1, it tells us that everything God made on the sixth day was good. And often we talk about creation and how God made everything, and we talk about how God made everything in literal days, how he made the seventh day Sabbath. But there was one other important thing that Jesus also made. And I encourage you to turn with me your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 25, as we find out what this important thing is. Genesis, chapter 2, verse 25. I'd like someone to read just that one single verse, Genesis, chapter 2, verse 25.
And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
All right, so in this verse, it says, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now, here's the point here, friends. You cannot have a wife unless you first have a marriage. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what this verse is really telling us is that in the beginning, God not only made Adam and Eve, but he also created marriage. And so follow me here, beloved. Jesus Christ made everything. Through Christ was made everything. And so Jesus also made marriage on the sixth day. And time again, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, it tells us that everything God made was good. And here's another point here, friends. The first marriage was made before the fall. Marriage was created before sin entered the world. And what this means is that God designed the marriage institution to be completely free from arguments and bitterness. Now, brothers and sisters, if we want to claim revival, we must first experience restoration in our families. If we desire to share the love of Jesus with the dying world, we must first have love in our homes. The question is, how can we improve our relationships with our family and with our spouse, if we have one? What are some practical and biblical guidelines on how we can bring true love into our home? Well, I encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, as we find out how can we bring about restoration in our families. Proverbs chapter 17. I'd like someone to read Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14.
The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off. I'm reading without my glasses. I apologize. Contention before it be meddled with.
All right. The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. So we are called to stop bitterness and arguments even before they start. But the question is, how do you do that, right? Well, the book Adventist Home, page 177, gives us a powerful guideline, beloved, on how to bring about restoration in our families, especially if you're married. Here she says, part of his wife should be the grave for the faults of the husband, and the heart of the husband the grave for his wife's faults. She says, never should either party indulge in a joke at the expense of the other's feelings. Never should either the husband or wife, in sport or in any other manner, complain of each other to others. For frequent indulging in this foolish and what may seem perfectly harmless joking will end in trial with each other and perhaps in stranglement. She says, I have been shown that there should be a sacred shield around every family. Now, friends, those are words that we need to take to heart, that we should never complain or even have a joke about our spouse, if we have one, in front of others. And the Bible also gives us additional details on how to have a happy family. And really, this next point is really for everyone, even if you're single. But before we go to this verse, I just want to illustrate it a little bit. And let me ask you a question. Have you ever been stung by a bee or maybe a wasp? You know, if you've ever been stung by a bee, then you know it hurts, right, friends? But what you don't want to do is when you're stung by the bee, you don't want to go and try to get revenge. And what I mean by that is if you are stung by a bee, you do not want to walk up and find a beehive and then take a stick and stick that stick inside the beehive, right, and stir it up, right? You do not want to take a stick and start hitting a beehive because, you know what, friends, that would not be a smart thing. That would be a foolish thing, right? For by doing that, you would only be stirring up trouble. With that in mind, please go back just a few chapters to Proverbs chapter 15. And I'd like someone to read Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1.
Proverbs 15, verse 1. And it reads, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger.
Thank you so much for that, my sister. You know, harsh words stir up anger. You know, friends, it's difficult to be angry with someone for a very long time when they're only speaking kind words to you. Isn't that right? But let me tell you something. It is easy to be angry with someone when they are speaking unkind words back to you. Isn't that true? And when someone is speaking unkind words to you, and you begin to speak unkind words back to them, it's basically as smart as hitting that beehive with a stick, is you're only stirring up evil. You're only going to cause more trials for yourself. And on top of that, you're tempting the other person to sin. You know, friends, it doesn't matter if you're married or not. The reality is that in this life, people whom you love are sometimes going to say unkind words to you. And beloved, it is going to sting. But we must not speak unkind words. For then if we speak unkind words back to them, we surrender our allegiance to the enemy of the souls. In fact, I encourage you to turn with me your Bible, step in the book of Proverbs, go to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11, discover how important it is to control our tongue. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. I'd like someone to read Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11.
Says a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards.
Thank you. Here, you know, if you combine this with Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9, the Bible actually tells us that a fool vents all his emotions, but a wise man holds them back. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. And so here the Bible tells us that it is not correct to just vent your feelings all the time. In fact, you might have heard some psychologists say, well, just vent, let it out. You'll feel better. But here the Bible tells us that a fool vents all his emotions, friends. And often it is foolish when we let go of our tempers and speak unkind words, because then we bring about great defeats in our families. Then we bring about great hurt in the hearts of others. With that in mind, I encourage you to turn open your Bibles, again, to the book of James chapter 1. James chapter 1, as we see the importance of controlling our tongues. Just how important is it, friends? James chapter 1, verse 26. I'd like you to read James chapter 1, verse 26.
If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain.
Now here the Apostle James writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and this one's religion is vain. Or as other translations say, this one's religion is worthless. You know, the book Adventist Home, page 437, says, we must subdue a hasty temper and control our words, and in this we shall gain great victories. Unless we control our words and temper, we are slaves to Satan. We are in subjection to him. He leads us captive. Now, friends, those are powerful words. It says, if we don't have the right words, then, friends, our heart is not right. In fact, what we can learn is that when we lose our temper, then Satan finds it. And, beloved, if we desire to be part of a family in heaven, we must first be a heavenly family member here on earth. We must overcome all anger. But how? Now, what is the key to overcoming harsh words? Because I know we are all tempted to be angry every once in a while, isn't that right? How can we overcome speaking harsh words? What is the key to unlocking this? You know, Jesus Christ actually tells us what is the key to controlling our tongues. And I encourage you to turn open your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 12 as we discover what the key is to controlling our mouth. Matthew chapter 12, and I'd like someone to read verse 34. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, as we learn from Jesus what is the key controlling our mouth.
Matthew 12, verse 34 reads, O generation of vipers, how can ye full speak? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
All right, friends, right here Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Or as other translations say, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Which means in order to have pure words, you must have a pure heart. And friends, if we are speaking impure words, then it shows that we have an impure heart. And if we have a pure heart, and that must lead us to another question, how then can we receive a clean heart? You know, has anyone ever really made you upset before? You know, the natural response is to get back at them, isn't that right? But yet you know what God wants you to do. You already know, as the verses that we covered before, you know God does not want you to speak hasty words. But friends, often when someone is so upset, it just feels like there is a burden on us that we just must speak. And often it seems like it's so difficult to overcome. It seems like there's just some heavy burden that we cannot lift by ourselves. You know, to the entrance of my home, it's a town home, and we just have one small step, one very small step. And my daughter, who is 3 years old, one day I was outside with her, and she was trying to get back into the home, and she had to cross this one small step. And she actually had one of those tiny scooters, you know, that kids run, scoot around on. And I wasn't looking, and suddenly I heard her voice saying, "Daddy, please help." And she had this scooter, and she was trying to lift the scooter over this one small step. And she was using all her strength, but yet she couldn't get this small plastic scooter over that one step. And literally, when I looked down and I saw what was happening, and she asked for help, well, of course I wanted to help her. And so all I literally had to do is I just had to lower my hand, and just with the slightest tap, just as easy as can be, I lifted that scooter up and helped her into the home. You know, friends, I illustrate that because the burden that was difficult for her to overcome was made very easy when she asked her father. And so, sons and daughters of God, listen to me. If we would only ask our Heavenly Father, what is difficult for us is an easy thing for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so often when we have this burden of anger and rage built up inside us, now is not the time to speak, but rather now is the time to pray. For Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Then Jesus says in Matthew 7, "For what man is there among you whom, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" You know, friends, when we are tempted to anger, then we should be instant in prayer. And friends, God will deliver us. In fact, the book Acts of the Apostles, page 564, tells us how we may control our emotions when she says, "Prayer is heaven's ordained means of success in the conflict with sin and the development of Christian character." She says the divine influences that come in answer to the prayer of faith will accomplish in the soul of the supplicant all for which he pleads, for the pardon of sin, for the Holy Spirit. Then she says, "For a Christ-like temper, for wisdom and strength to do his work, for any gift he has promised, we may ask, and the promise is, ye shall receive." You know, friends, prayer would save us from speaking impure words in haste. If only every time we are tempted to anger, we would first earnestly seek the Lord in prayer, I guarantee you that not one hasty, angry, rude, or impure word would proceed out of the mouth. And you know, friends, when you feel like praying the least, that is when you need prayer the most. Because when you do not feel like taking something to the Lord in prayer, it is at that time that you most need your Heavenly Father's assistance. And friends, when we pray as David did in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," then the Lord will answer, as he did in Ezekiel 36, when he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and will keep my judgments and do them. Now, friends, looking back on your marriage, or perhaps looking back on your family situation, perhaps the past may be full of heartache and only hurt. But friends, no matter how much pain you have gone through, know that we have a great physician who can bring healing. You know, Jesus gave all that he had so that you may live eternally with him. And beloved, how foolish it would be to hold on to bitterness and an unforgiving spirit and lose out on the glories of heaven. My son, my daughter, why not let it go? The anger you may have towards an ex-spouse, let it go. The bitterness you have towards your current spouse or perhaps family members, let it go. Give it to Jesus. Bury it, friends, once and for all. You know, at this moment, as you hear these words, Jesus Christ is in the most holy place. And at this very moment, he is pleading before the Father. He is pleading his blood for us. You know, friends, all heaven is interested in your salvation. Holy angels frequently visit your home and observe your conduct and speech. They want you to be saved. Jesus wants you to be saved from sin. Friends, do we not comprehend that the separation that Jesus experienced from the Father on the cross was because our sins had separated him from the Father? Do we not understand that the mockings that Jesus received at the cross were because of our harsh and angry words? Do we realize that the crown of thorns that was placed on Jesus' head was because of our thoughts of hatred and rage? You know, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53, verse 5, that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Beloved, let's not forget that Jesus died the death that we deserve so that we may live the life that he deserves. And no matter how much the devil has messed you up and has messed your family up, Jesus Christ can restore you. And no matter how much your marriage might seem broken today, Jesus Christ can bring about restoration. You can become a new creation in Jesus Christ, and it can begin today. And friends, don't get me wrong, beloved. Even in a perfect home, there will be many times when our patience will be tested. Yet imagine a home where not one impure word is spoken in retaliation. Not one rude look is given. Not one angry thought is cherished. Do you think that such is only a dream? What is only a dream to many can be a reality through prayer and faith and reliance in our Heavenly Father. And so today's appeal, friends, is very specific. Perhaps looking back on this past week, or this past month, or this past year, perhaps you have indulged a spirit of retaliation. Perhaps you have indulged a spirit of bitterness and anger. Perhaps you have been kind to your fellow church members, but you have been rude to your spouse. But today, you want to be changed. Today, you want to be restored. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And friends, although your family may be in shambles, the Lord is looking for families to restore in these last days. And we can have confidence that what God has promised, he is able to do. For the Word of God tells us in 1 John chapter 5 that this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. The Bible tells us now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Let me tell you something, beloved. It is always God's will that there be harmony in the home. And so today, is it your will to say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Forgive me of my unkind words and temper. Lord, take control of my life. Take control of my mind. Help me to have the mind of Christ. Is it today your will to say, Lord, have thy own way with me, O Lord, and restore me and bring about restoration in my family? Friends, if you have cherished an angry spirit but desire to be changed, I just encourage you to bow your heads with me as we close in prayer. Dear gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask for a genuine revival in our hearts, in our families, in our lives. And Lord, please begin with us. Father, when we are tempted to anger, may we not speak even one unkind word, but instead, Lord, may we be instant in prayer to you. And Lord, we know that you and you alone will deliver us, that you can create a clean heart in us. And Lord, from the overflow of our heart, our mouth will speak clean words. Lord, please clean us today, Father. Please, Lord, restore our families. Please, Lord, bring about a revival. Send your latter rain. And Lord, may you come soon. We ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. That was a powerful message and a great reminder of what the Lord expects from each of us. Thank you so much. Do you have any comments or questions for Brother Fultz at this time? You'll need to star 6 your line.
This is Millie from Burbank, and Pastor Fultz, we're glad you talked about this subject of the signs that will help us gain the victory. We are willing to take on this challenge to have peace and love in our home with the revival that they have encouraged us to seek out for the sealing that is coming, the latter rain. So when you presented it, it reminded us that this gospel won't be finished until we are genuinely, truly genuinely tested and sealed with a revival that is urgently needed. Thank you for sharing these things, and I'm so glad to have participated. When you participate, it helps you to follow up on these areas of need, and I certainly have mine. So please continue to pray for me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my sister. We will.
Thanks, Mel.
You're welcome.
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yes, go ahead, Will.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to say that all of us need to remember that, as it says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. This should be our religion. This should be our way of life. This is what the Adventist religion is supposed to be. This is how we are supposed to be. This is how God set apart people. This is their character. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my brother, for that verse.
Any others?
Good evening. Happy Sabbath.
Good evening.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Brother Pastor Fultz, I want to thank you for that. I know when you come on, you give so many scriptures and my hand just by the time I can get to, sometimes I can't get to turn to it, you know, because then there's another one and another one. But I tell you one thing, it keeps my, I don't know about anybody else's mind, but it sure keeps my mind going. For that time, I want to thank you for all the scriptures. And it's so true with each one because, of course, you know, it's the Word of God. But when it comes into 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, in fact, the whole chapter of Timothy, it talks about how, the, you know, those who lead the church, how they should be. And if they can't rule their house, you know, their home, God, there's a couple little problems. And if they can't take care of those few little problems, how are they going to come to a congregation and take care of a whole lot of people? It can't be done. That's why many times when things happen in the church, what they're supposed to do is to try to get the church together. But if they can't get their own two little people and their family together, it's hard. That's why the church the way it is today. But may God continue to help them to grow so the church can grow in Jesus, because he's coming back soon, and help each and every one of us to learn something from. In fact, I learned so much today. I knew it before, but I learned more today. So I want to thank God for you, and happy Sabbath, everyone.
Happy Sabbath as well.
Anyone else? You're so right, Brother Feltino, when you mentioned that, you know, a psychologist, or if you have ever watched, you know, any show that claims to be a psychologist, you know, they talk about letting it out and not holding it in, and amazing how Satan can really turn something that you don't even associate with him, you know, into something contrary to what God wants.
Amen.
And like you said, you know, I think that famous saying is, you know, you know, once you say it, you can't take it back.
That's true.
You know, you can be sorry, but you can't take it back. Very powerful message for us. In terms of revival and reformation in our own lives, in our own families and marriages. And we're supposed to be better examples.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments before we begin our united prayer? Brother Will, can you linger with us to give us our closing prayer?
Yes, of course.
And thanks so much for switching phones, because we didn't want to miss this message. And,
amen.
It was very, very clear once you did that. So just very thankful that you were able to do that and clear the line quickly, because it's been a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's begin our united prayer. And we've got over 20 callers on the line tonight on the Sabbath. And I just would like to encourage everyone to give, you know, sentence prayers. And we can hear so many of them, because I know that we have such faithful brothers and sisters on this line that take your prayer requests and take them personally and pray for you when they hear your prayer. And I know we used to, when we first started, you know, I would write down everything feverishly, trying to not miss or not miswrite or misstate someone's prayer request. So much more powerful when we hear you lifting up someone and, you know, knowing what that burden is for you, that we then want to support you with prayer as well throughout the day, throughout the week, continually until hopefully we hear a praise report. So I just encourage everyone to take this opportunity to pray tonight on the Sabbath. And the Lord, we're so close to the Lord tonight, and the Holy Spirit is with us. And short after this powerful message, you know, we're all just a little more closer, drawn closer to the Lord. I invite everyone to please pray tonight if you're so inspired. And if not, we'll lift up the silent and unspoken. Bow our heads in prayer. In fact, Nellie, since I cut you off, would you like to begin tonight?
Be glad to pray. Let us all bow reverently to God. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this prayer line, the Church Without Walls, that Gwen Shorter indicates that we are so happy to have with just this telephone line, this venue. We take time right now because this is your holy Sabbath day, and we're so glad to forget about all the tornadoes, all the crime, all the other issues that come into play throughout the week that hold us bondage. We release them, Lord, and we commune with you on this, your holy Sabbath day, for it is your holy Sabbath day that gives us a double portion of your blessing, and we're so pleased to receive them. We pray it for each member on the prayer line and their families. We're so glad that families have been lifted up tonight. And, Father, we pray that as families we will have revival and reformation in our hearts and in our homes, and that we will take this challenge that has been presented to us tonight by Brother Folks, that we will rule our house as you would have us do. We know that you made the world, you made the marriage, and you made the families. And, Father, we can give every issue that we have to you, lay them down at your feet, and leave them there. We do that now, and we pray for not only our families, but we pray for those who are out of the ark of safety. We particularly remember and lift up the prodigals list, the friends list, and we pray that you will bring them all home to you, that they may receive that internal blessing that you have, that gift that you have for them. We also pray, Father, that you will take our hearts and our mind and our souls and yield them totally to you as we surrender all that we have. We believe in your word, for your promises are true. We know that it is a sacred shield around every family, and we pray that we will keep those soft words that we are supposed to speak in order to turn away wrath. We lift up marriages in the family, Lord, that they may remain sacred as the world is doing otherwise. Now we thank you and we praise you for what you have done for us this past week, and we look forward to this blessing that you have for us on this, your holy Sabbath day. May we remember to keep it holy. This we pray in the holy and the blessed name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's all say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, ma'am. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. We come to you with so much thanksgiving for this prayer line, Lord, and for the opportunity to hear your word on the Sabbath evening. And, Lord, we just want to lift up every family on this line. Whatever they're going through, Lord, whether it's unemployment or financial or children or illness, Lord, you know. You know the end from the beginning and each of our lives. Lord, please be with us. And help strengthen our character, Lord, so we're ready for your soon return. I want to continue to ask for a blessing for Brother Fulton and his family. Thank you, Lord, so much for sending them to this prayer line to our church. Help us with this prayer line. Website, etc. Lord, we're just so blessed. You continue to bless us every day. I just want to lift up Erin in a special way. Lord, I know you continue to work in her life and mine, Lord. She's not alone. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, your love. Please forgive all of our sins. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Any others?
Yes. Dear gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for what you are about to do. Lord, we thank you that you are going to bring about restoration in our families. Lord, we know that a revival is soon to come, or Lord, is found in prophecy. Lord, we know that your word is sure, and Lord, we know that you're going to bring about restoration in our families, Lord. Please, Father, help us to have clean hearts and pure minds. Lord, please, be with each family on the line here today, and Lord, be with those who could not make it on the line as well. Father, may the homes, each home that's represented on this line today, Lord, may it be a little piece of heaven on earth where the holy angels can dwell in happiness. Lord, help the husbands to be house bands. Lord, please help us to keep our families together in a world that is falling apart. Yeah. Lord, we thank you that with you in the center of our families, Lord, we cannot be torn apart. Lord, we know that you can give us strength. Lord, I pray if there's someone here today who is really struggling in their family situation, Lord, I pray that you just give them a double portion of your Holy Spirit. That, Lord, you send your Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with them. Lord, that you bring about restoration with their families, with their spouses, with their children, Lord. Please, Father, revive us today. We thank you, Lord, for doing so and hearing and answering our prayers. Please, Lord, be with us the rest of the Sabbath and use us mightily for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Well, thank you so much, Brother Folks. Thank you so much for your ministry and your love for the Lord that you share with us. We have truly been blessed tonight. And thank you so much for the study. Well, I want to wish everyone a happy Sabbath, and God bless you. We will have a new speaker on Sunday morning. I'm sorry, I did not write his name down when Glenn gave it to me. I was driving, but Glenn will be moderating Sunday morning to introduce him. And so God willing, we bid you a good evening. God bless you all, and we'll see you Sunday morning.
Amen. Shabbat shalom.
Happy Sabbath to you too, everybody.
Thank you.
Love
happy
everyone.
Sabbath.
Thank you, Joanne. Bye,
Sabbath
Brother Folks.
Good night,
everyone.
Happy Sabbath.
Good night.
Happy Sabbath.
Good
night.